You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. Have a great guest, Madison Marie McIntosh, opera singer, mezzo-soprano, and she does a lot of things. She works on a lot of projects. We're going to get into that. But first of all, I wanted to welcome you to Something Rather Than Nothing. Welcome, Madison.
Thank you very much, Ken, for having me as a guest. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, the show gets into opera at different times. It's an area of learning for me. And I've just been very intrigued by the very different productions that you do. And I know recently up in the wonderful area of Fargo-Moorhead, you were Cinderella. And I know you're out in New York right now. So just kind of jumping right in, why don't you talk about just kind of like the recent couple of things that you did, say your work up in Fargo, and what your next project is.
This past weekend, I was singing Cinderella in Rossini's version of the story with Fargo Moorhead Opera. It's a company with which I love to work. I sang in a production with them last year, and I'm very grateful that they had me back this year. So yes, there are some different things about Rossini's version of this fairy tale. There's no fairy godmother. Instead, there's Alidoro, the prince's tutor. And there are two bracelets, one of which Cinderella gives to the prince. There's not a slipper that she loses. And there's a stepfather instead of a stepmother. And this production was wonderfully effervescent. It was directed by the brilliant Maria Todaro and conducted by the marvelous Kevin Zutelin. And my next project, for which I'll begin rehearsal tomorrow, will be Julius Caesar, Handel's Giulio Cesare, with Connecticut Lyric Opera. And I'm excited to work with them again, with conductor Adrian Sylvine and stage director Alan Mann. I had the pleasure of singing Cesare with Connecticut Lyric Opera in 2018. And this past November, I also sang in Francesca Caccini's La Liberazione di Ruggero. And yes, I really love the role of Cesare as well. And I'm definitely excited to be in those performances in May. And I'll also be featured in a digital benefit concert for Ukraine. This is Artists for Peace, presented by Opera Cecilia. And you can check out operacecilia.com. That's opera, CECILIA.com, or check them out on Instagram and visit the link in their bio, or check them out on Facebook. And then in early June, I'll be singing Francesca da Ponte in the concert premiere of a new operatic musical based on the fascinating life of Lorenzo da Ponte, who wrote the libretti of Mozart's most famous Italian operas. Da Ponte features music by Mozart and his contemporaries, as well as original music by composer Roger Neill, whose credits include the theme music of Mozart in the Jungle, and librettist Neil Cohen, who is the genius behind the entire musical. And when I say genius, I mean it. Neil is fantastic, and his script and lyrics are brilliantly clever. And this event will take place at West Wind Orchard in Accord, New York. And I think that I've bored you long enough with information about my upcoming projects. But yes, that's those are a few of the things that I'll be doing soon.
Thank you. No, and thank you for making time for the podcast. I love those stories, and I love hearing the different elements of those stories, you know, as you describe them. So thank you, Madison. I wanted to go back to the beginning, and as you know, on the podcast, we focus on creatives of all types, you know, painters, singers, dancers, at times athletes, and I've been drawn to opera, both to understand it, but to also see the different elements as it emerges, you know, within and without the pandemic over the last couple of years. But let's go way back to the beginning, and a question I ask guests. So when you were born, were you an artist? Were you a singer then?
Perhaps not from the moment when I was born, but I caught the singing bug pretty soon thereafter. In fact, my mother jokes that I was singing even before I was talking, which is saying something because I was a chatty social kid from a very early age. And singing was something that I did for fun long before it evolved into my passion. When I was in kindergarten and we would sing the national anthem every morning, I would sing in my so-called opera voice, much to the consternation of my classmates. I would also embarrass my poor parents by singing very loudly in the congregation at church. And eventually I auditioned for a school play in third grade, and the music director somehow contacted my parents and asked whether they knew that I had a voice for singing. And they said, well, we knew she was loud. I mean, my parents were exceedingly supportive of me and liked many different genres of music, but they weren't necessarily music aficionados, so they wouldn't necessarily have been able to identify a voice that, could be developed. And anyway, I started to take voice lessons a year or two after that, by which time I knew that I wanted to be an opera singer.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a question about the different languages. I haven't really had the opportunity to ask that of guests, the singers in particular, the extensive training that goes on in language. What is it like for you as an artist to be able to handle the intonation and of the various languages and to sing in them. What is your experience with language as it comes out through your voice?
I love to sing in different languages. Although I have to say that Italian is my favorite. as opera singers, we need to study not only the languages themselves, but also the diction, the pronunciation of each language in which we sing. So in college, I had language classes and diction classes, both of which were very important. And of course, we need to know the meanings of the words that we say. So familiarity with the languages can help a great deal with that. And of course, if we come across words that we don't know, we need to look them up, or else it will be obvious to the audience that we have no clue what we're saying. But yes, it's really a pleasure to sing in a wide variety of languages.
Yeah, it's a piece that I, from the outside, that I hold in esteem, and it's a unique characteristic to be able to range like that. It's beautiful to hear, and your voice is beautiful, and it's wonderful to kind of learn about opera and about how you create that emotional impact where other singers talk about, the power of the voice and the power of, performing and, kind of the traditional elements of opera. And related to that, I have a question about opera and about the fact that I know you've gone into, what we might be considered like, kind of modern interpretations or, opera moving forward. For you, performing in this area, 2022, in the world that we live in, what is the role of opera right now? What do you believe is its role? Has it changed, or is it, remained the opera that we know throughout the centuries?
I think that some elements of it have remained the same and that others have changed. Opera is timeless, in my opinion. And there are traditional productions, ones that are set in the periods in which they were originally set. And I think that in its own way emphasizes the timelessness of the operas. But some stage directors put different takes on the operas, different spins on them, and sometimes update them to take place in more modern times. And I think that in its own way emphasizes the timelessness of the stories that are told in operas.
I wanted to know, Madison, one of the bigger questions here, and of course you could apply it to opera, but as an artist yourself, I mean, you dedicate your life, your time to creating this form of art. I wanted to ask you the big question about, you do that and you put a lot of your effort and your life into that, but what is art and what are you trying to do with art?
That's a question, of course, that artists, philosophers, and other people have been pondering for years. And of course, there's not just one right answer. The Cambridge English Dictionary defines art as the making of objects, images, music, etc., that are beautiful or that express feelings. And I think that that's a pretty good definition. But art can also be used to send messages, to encourage people to consider new ideas, to make people more empathetic, and even to push the boundaries of what is considered art.
Yeah, do you think, and within art, sometimes I ask, you know, what the role of art is, and you know, applying it now to our time. You know, what is the role of opera for the modern audience? For me, it's clear that it has a role. It has the power that it has. But for us now, what do you think the role of opera is in our world at the moment?
I'm really glad that you asked that question, Ken, about the role of opera and art in general. I think that the role of art is immensely undervalued in today's society. It has basically been classified as non-essential, but I literally would not want to live in a world without art. From the time when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I have considered practically everything else boring. I loved to sing and to listen to music. I liked to draw, even though I wasn't very good at it. I liked to read and to tell stories. I enjoyed movies and television shows. And I certainly wasn't alone. People look to art for hope, comfort, inspiration, enjoyment, distraction from a challenging world, and respite from the mundane. Art can inspire people to do better and to be better. It can raise funds for important causes, as in the case of Opera Cecilia's benefit concert that I mentioned. It can make people more empathetic and less judgmental. At the very least, it can make a person slightly less crabby on a bad day. It can reach many, many people at one time, and it provides jobs for a lot of people. For example, a single opera production creates jobs for the singers, the members of the orchestra, the conductor, perhaps an assistant conductor, the stage director, the stage manager, any assistant stage managers, the costume designer, the makeup artist, the set designers and builders, the lighting designer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yes, art is essential and art is work.
Yeah, and we get into that topic a decent amount about, you know, the work inherent in art. And one piece, going back to what you said, that I really picked up, I really enjoyed you saying, was, you know, the notion of empathy, right? Through song and through, well, in this particular case with opera, but in general, I look at art and do my show in the sense of the connections that it makes, you know, between people, whatever the form that it is. And there's a deep part of it about the empathy or towards the human experience, or it could just entertain, as you said, it can make your day a little bit better. And for me, this inquiry like gets into that because it has the potential and it is aimed towards, I don't know, it seems to me like bettering our lives and increasing understanding, the way I see it.
Absolutely. Yes. It humanizes other people.
I got another question, and it is about creating, and for you in particular as an artist, again, another conceptual question, but deep down, why do you think you create?
For me, it all started simply because I loved to sing. Everything else came later, relating to my characters, connecting with audiences, and loving to work with other artists. But long before I was a professional performer, I just loved to sing. And that set me on the path to doing what I do.
Yeah, I, and again, thank you for just your spirit in moving towards that, because we get to enjoy your performances. And I wanted to thank you in particular about the Ukraine benefit. I mean, recently I've encountered some of the, you know, history in the 20th century of the Holodomor and the Great Famine that the Ukrainian people were subject to in the 30s and into the 40s, and the history of the history of oppression and incursion there. So I think it's great that you put your efforts to a lot of things. What art does is to transform, make people aware, and like you said, to labor or to, you know, bring awareness towards, you know, towards issues. And I want to thank you for that effort, because that's, I don't know, feels like that's what makes art, you know, real in our world. I want to ask you another big, big question. Titular question of the show is, Madison, why do you think there is something rather than nothing?
I suppose that something comes into existence when a sentient being, human or divine, and of course there are many different beliefs about the latter, creates something, or it is created by nature.
And there we are, right? I wanted to ask you a bit more about the production you're going to be doing in New York City. And what was the title of that again?
That will be in Connecticut with Connecticut Lyric Opera. That's Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar in Egypt, which is Giulio Cesare in Egitto by Handel. That's my next production. And then in New York State, Accord New York, in early June, I'll be singing in the concert premiere of Da Ponte by Roger Neal and Neil Cohen.
That's wonderful. One of the things I also wanted you to convey, if you could, is a big part of what you do, in a way for the audience to be able to connect with you as a performer or the works. I know you're involved in a lot of different projects, but can you lead folks to, whether it be like a website or social media presence, about the work that you do, so they can kind of come in contact with your work and with you to your comfort level?
Yes, definitely. Thank you for asking. I'm Madison Marie McIntosh, mezzo-soprano, on Facebook. And my Instagram handle is also my name, at Madison Marie McIntosh. And people can visit my social media platforms to see pictures of my productions and a few videos and to get in touch.
Yeah, thank you. I understand you won the American Prize in opera for one of your performances, and I also understand that is a high honor. Can you just tell us a little bit about that prize and about the performance that you won it for?
I'm very grateful, yes, to have won the American Prize in vocal performance in 2020. That happened on the basis of a few different videos of my singing. And I would like to thank once again Chief Judge David Katz and the brilliant soprano Sharon Sweet, who was also a judge. I wrote her a thank you note, and she was very gracious, very kind in replying to me. And I actually have not had the pleasure of meeting Maestro Katz in person, but I wrote a thank you note to him, of course, after he let me know that I had been designated winner of the American Prize. But then a few months later, I still felt very grateful to him and the American Prize. And I admit that I'm the queen of crazy ideas. I became like that rather early during the pandemic. And I wrote to David rather out of the blue to make the offer to sing a benefit concert for the American Fries. I love to support the organizations that have supported me. And he liked the idea. And so in May of last year, I sang a virtual benefit concert that featured world premieres of works by 8 composers.
Incredible. Congratulations, Madison. And I encourage all listeners as Madison makes her way and performs with her beautiful voice that hopefully you get the opportunity to hear the wonderful unamplified human voice of Madison Marie McIntosh, mezzo-soprano. Madison, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I know you're so busy, but thank you for giving us a peep into your thinking, into your performance, and into the opera world. I really, really appreciate your time and your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Ken. It has been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for having me on this great podcast.
Thank you. And I hope that we get the chance to talk again.
Absolutely. I hope so, too. This will be a live and unedited recording of Un'altra Volta Ancora from Partenope by Handel. My character is the Princess Rosmira, a very gutsy woman who has disguised herself as a man to seek out the man Arsace, who has jilted her. He says that he still loves her, but although Rosmira loves him, she's suspicious, and she tells him, "Yet another time you told me that you loved me, and then you deceived me."
Rather than nothing.